Holding on loop test on the base, the seventh line of the wide lines, rather two dot line at the moment.
We saw a couple of them today, like putting them pretty much around the line, thinking about the player not to wash their hands
in the avoider. We mentioned that the current guard will have to do it extra times on kit free after
wash hands sometimes. So now we're going to talk more about the beginning of the player washing their hands.
And there is, by the way, I mentioned on the WhatsApp, there's a sticha where the Rebbe analyzes. It's interesting. The Rambam, we know over here they have to wash their hands and feet. The Rambam writes that before a person davens, which we're talking nowadays, he has to wash his face and hands and feet, which the Rebbe says, okay, face and hands, I can understand, but why his feet? On the other hand, the fact is we don't see people necessarily washing. We don't see people washing their feet before davening. And even as far as the face, the Alter Rebbe, when he mentions this concept in Shulchan Aruch, he doesn't mention washing the face. You have to wear it because of cleanliness, but as far as preparation for tefillah, instead he just mentions the idea that you have to wash your hands. So there's a sticha in Chelek Lamed Aleph where the Rebbe analyzes this whole issue in detail. The halachas behind it, the exact reasoning. The Rebbe discusses there the idea that according to the Rambam, it comes out, the purpose of this washing is for tara. Person is Tomei, and therefore they need to be Metahar themselves. So therefore, the Rambam will say like this, during the time when the Beis Mikdash was standing, okay, the external parts of a person, the parts with which he interfaces with the world, with which he does action in the world, his hands and feet, need to be washed for Tahara. His face, the Ponim, representing Pnimius, the inner aspect of himself didn't need to be washed, didn't need to be made Tahara. Nowadays, we live in a time of Golos, of course, is more concealed, then you need to wash your face as well. Whereas the Alter Rebbe takes the view, says the Rebbe, that the purpose of the washing is not for tahara. A person in and of themselves is tahar. It's the idea that Rebbe relates it to the idea that we say modani even before we wash our hands, because the essence of a yid never becomes tamei. All it is though we need to what it is not so much a matter of tahara; it's a matter of kedusha. And therefore, to have the extra kedusha that we need to bring on ourselves to prepare for the days of avodah, for that we just need to wash our hands. So that's why he leaves out the face. Okay. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara over here. So turn it up on. We learn in the Braisa. Kiddush yodav v'ragla v'yoyim. If a kohen washed his hands and feet during the day, ein sorach l'kaddish v'layla. He does not need to wash them again before he does avodah at night. Namely, at night, he's going to be burning the pieces of the remaining pieces of the carbonus on the Mizbeach. He doesn't need to wash again for that. But Balayla, but if he washed by night, the first thing he's doing there after he washed is to do one of the avodas at night. Again, the burning of the fats and whatever on the Mizbeach. Sorech l'kaddish by yoyim. He has to again do kiddush by day in the morning. Divrei Rebbe. So says Rebbe. Shohoya Rebbe yoyim. Because in fact, Rebbe used to say, Lina ma'elas sekiddush adayim reglayim. Lina, being left overnight, or in this case, not overnight, but from the night into the day, is effective in the sense that it passels kiddush yadayim v'raglayim, just as we find that lina passels pieces of the karbonis. If they weren't burnt during the night, then they're possel, unless they were on the Mizbeach, as we'll learn later on in the Sechta. So the same way over here. And that takes place at Amuda Shachar, at Aloysa Shachar. So therefore, by the same logic, the Rebbe says, comes the Aloysa Shachar, then the Kiddush from yesterday is no good and you have to do it again. Rebbe Lozber of Shimon, ain't Lina Ma'elis for Kiddush Adayim Reglayim. Whereas Rebbe Lozber of Shimon says, no, Lina makes no difference when it comes to Kiddush Adayim Reglayim. So therefore, even you did Kiddush Adayim Reglayim by night, then no problem. You can do it again. You did it by night. You do not have to do it again by day, says Rebbe Lozber of Shimon. Okay, that's one raisa. Tanya idoch, and by the way, I mean we're going to discuss. We'll get into more of the discussion about the details of this, and eventually we'll talk about who the halacha is like. But this is actually negeya also as far as nowadays, as far as halachas of mitzvah shadayim in the morning. So if a person woke up before alois hashachar and washed, do they need to wash again? Come alois hashachar, based on what Rebbe is saying over here, it sounds like you might need to. It's a different kind of thing. To be sure, it's not exactly the same thing with washing your hands in the morning. It's to remove ruach ra. And again, from what the Rebbe was saying before in that sicha, it's more a matter of tara than a matter of kedusha. But still, there's an argument to be made that you should have to do it again after alois hashachar. There's an argument to be made that not. That once you did it sometime in the middle of the night, then you shouldn't need to again. A related question is, which we're going to talk about soon, what if a person, in the next place, what if a person was up all night during the avodah? Does he need kiddush adayim ve'raglayim the next morning? That also comes up in hilchos mesilas adayim. So if a person was up all night, does he need to wash his hands in the morning? So the Rosh in particular holds that you should need to. He even says that you should make a bracha on it. So in Shulchan Aruch it brings that because you have a suffix in both those cases, therefore you have a suffix whether you should do it. And the Ramah says, therefore, in both cases, wash with it. Wash after Alois HaShachar without a bracha. Okay. So, Tan Yidach, we learn in another bright. So, Hoya Omid or Makar of a government there for a while. If somebody is standing and bringing korbanos, again, burning the pieces of the fat and the pieces on the mizbeach, kol alayla, the entire night. So unlike the previous case, where he woke up in the middle of the night to do one of the avodas, and we're saying over there he did kiddush adayim ve'raglayim then, and Rebbe is saying that he still needs another one in the morning, and Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon is saying not. This braisa is saying that he was up all night during the avodah, la'oda ton kiddush adayim ve'raglayim, so when it gets light, when it comes alois ha'shachar, he needs kiddush adayim ve'raglayim, again, divrei Rebbe, this is what Rebbe says, Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, and Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon says no. Kivin shekiddush yodav v'raglam etchilas avoda, once he washed his hands and feet, once he was mekadosh them, at the beginning of the avoda, afilu mikan v'ala sore yomim, so even if from there, it's for 10 days later, as long as he's continuously doing the avoda, ain't it sorech lekadosh, he would not need to do the kiddush. Okay, Achronim talk about the Cheshuk Shloima, I think, talks about and how is it even possible that a person is doing the avodah for 10 days. We're going to discuss later that when he goes to sleep, then that topples the Kiddush Adayim Ve'raglayim and he needs to do another one. And we know a person can't go 10 days without sleeping or without going to the bathroom, which we'll deal with later also. Okay, so he says maybe it's not the Gemara is using 10 days, just meaning an indefinitely large amount of time. Really, it would mean no more than 3 days. Because that's the maximum that a person can go. It mentions in other places in Gemara, that's the maximum a person can go without sleeping. Okay, anyway, the point is that Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon is saying again over here that as long as you did the avodah and there wasn't any sleeping or hesach hadas or whatever in between, which we'll see later, all the various things that pass for the kiddush and you have to do it again, then Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon says you don't need another kiddush. Okay, the Gemara says it's tzricha. Now we need both braisas. The one that says that if he woke up in the middle of the night and did enough and started doing an avodah then, that the kiddush that he did for that doesn't count for the morning, according to Rebbe, and he needs to do another one, whereas Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon says no. And the second one that says that he was up, or that if he was up all night, because if we were only told the first braisa, the case where he woke up in the middle of the night and started doing that avodah, then he would say, Bahi, Kama Rebbe. You would say, in that case, Rebbe is saying that he needs a new kiddush adayim ve'raglayim in the morning. The pasuk claim avodah la'avodah, because he stopped doing one avodah, and now he's starting to do another. We're not saying, like in the second braisa, how you only do makir of our government, therefore, he's continuously doing the same avodah, and now the morning comes. We're talking about he did some avodah at some point in the middle of the night. Now he stopped, and now later on he wants to do another avodah. Okay, Rebbe is going to say he needs kiddush adayim ve'raglayim for that. Al-Baha, but in the second case, the late Pasakle, where he didn't stop from continuously doing the avodah from the middle, from the beginning of the night onward, and throughout the night he's been doing the avodah, and now it comes Alois HaShachar, and he's finished, and he's still doing it. Maybe Rebbe would agree with Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, then in that case, you do not, in that case, then he doesn't need to do Kiddush Adayim Ve'raglayim again in the morning. The Iyashmin and Baha, on the other hand, if we were only told the second Raisa, you would say the other way around. Baha Ka'am Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, only in that second case would Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon say he doesn't need another Kiddush because he was doing the Avodah continuously. Ava Baha, but in the first Raisa, where he did an Avodah and then waited a while and now he wants to do another Avodah in the morning. Eman Lodele the Rebbe, maybe he would agree with Rebbe Tzricha, and that's why we need both Raisa. So we have to understand what's the underlying machlokas. Why do Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon have their various opinions? My time is the Rebbe. What is Rebbe's reason that he says that you need a new kiddush adayim ve'raglayim every morning? Because the pasuk says when do they need to do the kiddush adayim ve'raglayim? Bigishta, when they come close to do the avodah. So it, in the morning, it's considered a new gishtam. It's considered a new coming close because you have, as Rashi said, you have a new marocha kadosha. You have a new pile of wood on the mizbeach. Therefore, in that sense, it's like a new beginning of the avodah. Therefore, you need a new kiddush adayim ve'raglayim. My time is at Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. What about what's Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon's reason? He says d'chtiv b'voyam. Yes, the same pasuk also says when they come, the actual pasuk says b'voyam al oyel moed or gishtam oy b'gishtam al mizbeach. When they come to the oyel moed or when they approach the mizbeach, So Rebbe is focusing on the Begishtam, and Reb Shimon is focusing on Bevayam when they come in, and they're not coming in because they were already there before. So, of course, we have to figure out what does each one do with the other one's pulpit. The Idach Nami Haksid Bevayam. Rebbe, what does he do with the wood Bevayam that Reb Shimon is using? The answer is Iksid Begishtam, or Iksid Bevayam, because Rebbe would say just the opposite. If it said only Begishtam when they come close, and it didn't also say Bevayam, Hava Amina, then you might think the other way around. I'll call Gisha Begisha. Maybe every single time, even on the same day, that he approaches the Mizbeach to do a new Avodah, maybe he would need Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. But we know that's not so. Therefore, Kosa Rachmana Bevayam, therefore, in order to clarify that, says Rebbe, that's why the Pasuk wrote the word Bevayam. To imply, it is when they come in to the, when it is when they come in to do the Avodah, because as we'll discuss later the issue of if they go out and then they come back in, that they need a new Kiddush, but we'll get back to that. But the point is that if it only said Begishtam, you would think before every single Avodah throughout the day, they need Kiddush. Bevayam clarifies that, no, it's only when they're coming in for the first time that day, but also, even if they were there before, you still have Begishtam that when they're coming close, when there's a new coming close, in the sense that now there's a new Marach, a new pile of wood on the Mizbeach, and a new day's Avodah is beginning, then Rebbe would say you also need Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. The Idach Nami, okay, what about Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, Haksid Begishtam? What did he do with the wood Begishtam? The answer is Iksid Bevayam, but like Iksid Begishtam, he said, yes, but if it only said Bevayam, and it did not say the wood Begishtam, Hava Amina, you would think, Afila Abir Rekonis. You would think maybe he has to wash his hands and feet, even if he's coming in not for the purpose of Avodah. He's just coming in Stam. He's coming in order to bow, or in order to wash the Avodah, or whatever you would think. If it only said Bevayam, then you would think maybe he still has to do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. So therefore, it has to say Begishtam. And what do you mean, the Gemara says? Abir Rekonis. Why would you think that he should have to do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim for a Bir Rekonis, for an empty coming in, meaning for a coming in where he's not doing an Avodah? Oksiv L'shores. The same pasuk continues that when they come in, L'shores, to serve. So obviously, if he's just coming in to bow down or watch the Avodah, there's no question that he doesn't have to do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. So we can't answer that. There is, by the way, the machlokas are showing him about the whole question. So if a person b'chlal, I mean, you have a thing. The Mishnah says in Kalim that the area between the ulam and the mizbeach, the part of the azor that's closest to the mizbeach, that's closest to the heichal, a person is not allowed to go in there when he hasn't washed his hands and feet. So you have a machlokas are showing him, is that only d'rabbanon? Is it maybe d'oraisa, what would be the penalty, if it is d'oraisa, what would be the penalties for it? For example, the Rambam apparently holds that you'd only be, even for going into the heichol without chitzas yadayim raglayim, let alone going into the azara. Even for the heichol, he learns you'd only be the maximum you'd be chayav is for a lav. You wouldn't be chayav kares or mitzvah de shemayim. Other rishonim disagree and say that maybe it is zaraisa. But actually, it's not bein olam olam zeh. Rather, it's the heichol. The Mishnah in Kalim says that the heichol, somebody who's not rochot to dine direct line, somebody who hasn't washed his hands and feet, comes in can't go in there. So the question is, does that mean zaraisa? And if it's Daraisa, is it Chayav Kares or not? Or is it maybe only Dirabbanon? On top of that, you have the question, is it only if he do the Avodah? We know if he does the Avodah without the Chisus Yadayim Raglayim, he'd be Chayav Kares. What if he just goes in there, Stam, via Rekonos, as we're saying over here? Okay, there is that discussion. But when it comes to the Azorah, anyway, as all Gemara is saying, everybody agrees that a via Rekonos, just coming into the Azorah without doing the Avodah, he's not required to do the Chisus Yadayim Raglayim. And you don't even need the pasuk. You don't even need an extra word in the pasuk to tell us, because it clearly says l'shorei. So only when he comes into serve. Now, so we can't say that that's why Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon would say why it says begishtam. Ela begishtam miboyle v'chidrav acha b'yakov. So we have to say that he uses the word begishtam to teach us what Rabbi Acha b'yakov says. The Amr of Acha b'yakov hakol moedim b'kiddush sheni. Now we have the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. As we said yesterday, he has to tovel five times during the avodah of Yom Kippur. Every time when he's changing from one outfit into another, when he first puts on the big day zahav and does some of the morning avodah, then he puts on the big day lavan and goes into the Kodesh Hakadoshim, etc. So each time he changes clothes, he has to tovel and he has to wash his hands and feet before and after each tevilah. So a total of 10 times. So now, there's a machlokes in Yuma, Rav Meir and the Chachamim disagree. When he does the kiddush that takes place before each tevilah, what's the order? Does he first do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, and then he takes off his clothes and goes and toivels? That's the Chacham say that. Rav Meir says first he gets undressed, and then he does Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. By the way, obviously he's not going to be doing Kiddush Adayim Raglayim for the Kiyur in that case, because the Kiyur is there in the middle of the Azori. He's not going to be standing there undressed. The Mishnah mentions over there in Yuma that actually he'd use a golden pitcher, he'd use a golden pitcher for as long as one of the three shot is allowed, he would use that, and therefore he could be doing that in the area where he's toivel. And so again, the Chachamim would say that he does the first Kiddush Adayim Raglayim before the tefillah. He does it while he's still dressed. Rav Meir says he does it when he's undressed. So Rav Acha by Yaakov is saying, Hakol Moedim B'Kiddush Sheni. However, everybody agrees for the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim that takes place after the tefillah. So after he puts on the Big Day Zahav when he does the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, and after he puts on the Big Day Lavan when he does the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, etc. Everybody agrees through Lavosh Mekadosh that he does the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim only after he got dressed. Why? And that we get from the word B'Gishtam. The Amakra Oy B'Gishtam, because the Pasuk says, or when they come close, implying when they approach, implying Misha Eina Mechutzer Ela Gisha Bova. So it only applies, so when do you do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim? When the only thing left to do after that is that you're approaching to do the Avoda. Yotzeh Zeh, as opposed to the Kohen Gadol where he's toveling and then putting on clothes, Shemechutzer L'Gisha V'Gisha, if you were to say that he were to do the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim before he gets dressed, then it wouldn't be V'Gishtam, because then he'd be doing the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. Then he first has to get dressed in his Gadol to do the Avoda, because we said before, if he does the Avoda without the proper number of clothes and he topples it, and then only then would be Gisha, that doesn't work. So therefore, when it comes to you have like this. Is it that he does the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, then the Tovel, is it that he does the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, then he gets undressed, then he Tovels, then he gets dressed, then he puts on the second set of clothes, that's according to the Chachamim, or according to the Meir, he gets undressed, he does the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, he Tovels, then he puts on the next set of clothes, then he does the next Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. So everybody agrees that the second Kiddush Adayim Raglayim is the last thing. That we learn from the word B'Gishtam. Okay. So that's that. So that's what, so the laws of Rav Shimon will say, that's what I'm using the word B'Gishtam for, not to teach us, not to teach us, like Rebbe says, that every time there's a new day that we're just starting, then you need a new Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. Okay, Tosis points out, so what would Rebbe do with that? Rebbe would say, okay, that you can manage to learn two dinim from that. Tosis doesn't even elaborate why. Maybe because it could have said just B'Gishtam, and it says, oh, B'Gishtam, I don't know. Anyway, okay, fine. Lahakti Isha Lomali. Next, we have to ask the question, going back to the Pasuk regarding Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. The Pasuk says that when the Kohenim come close, Lahakti Isha, to burn a fire korban Tashem, so they have to do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. So you have to ask, what's the need of that pasuk? Obviously, if we said, obviously, B'Gishtam means they come close to the Mizbeach, and obviously if they're burning something on the Mizbeach, means they approach the Mizbeach, so why does it need to add those words? The answer is Ma'udasona, because if it didn't have those words, you could have thought, Hani Mili Avodah Ma'achba Kapara, you would think, when do you need Kiddush Adayim Raglayim in the morning, only when you're going to be doing an Avodah that's required for the Kapara? For example, anything that has to do with the blood, Kabbalah or Halacha or Zrika or Kmitza, the taking of the handful from the Mincha and bringing it to the Mizbeach and burning it on the Mizbeach. But you would think Avol Avodah Zalei Ma'ach Kapara, but an Avodah that's not essential to the Kapara, for example, burning the pieces on the Mizbeach, whereas we've discussed previously, even if that wasn't done, the Korban is still kosher after all. Loi, you would think maybe you don't need Kiddush Adayim Raglayim for that. Kamash Malon, and that is why the Pasuk adds the word Lahaktu Isha to mean that even in that case, you still need Kiddush Adayim Raglayim for such avodah. But Shittim Kubetis asked the question, didn't we learn the other day? We learned from a Zeta Shava from the word Chukah in connection with Machotah B'Gadim, and we established over there that applies for all avodahs, whether Ma'akva Kapara or not. So why would we have a Hava Amina that over here? So he says, maybe the idea is, we would say if you have to do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, what we would say like this is maybe any avoda that requires Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, namely which would be only the ones that are Ma'akav Kapara, then fine, you don't do that, you don't do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, then it's Machal Avoda. But maybe you would think, maybe the ones that are not Ma'aser Kafara, maybe they actually don't even require Kiddush Adayim Raglayim in the first place. So therefore, the Kiddush is that no, you have to be told that even those require, that even those require Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. And if, and therefore, if it's not done, then it's possible. Okay. Ki Aser of Zimi, Omer of Yechanan. So now, we're going on further with this machloikas about Rebbe, between Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, about whether Lina, about whether being left for the, whether if Kiddush Adayim Raglayim was done before Alois HaShachar, when it comes to Alois HaShachar, is it possible and now you have to do a new one? So now we're going to discuss that further. Ki Aser of Zimi, Omer of Yechanan, when Rebbe Zimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he reported that Rebbe Yechanan said, Boi Ilfa. Ilfa, who was one of the Talmudim of Rebbe, asked the following question. According to the opinion, which is Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, that says that lina, that being left overnight, does not pass on Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, and therefore, as we said before, if he woke up in the middle of the night and did Kiddush Adayim Raglayim and then did an avodah, then he doesn't have to do it in the morning. If he was up all night continuously doing an avodah, then he doesn't need to. The question is, according to his opinion, make kiyur maushi pasul. What about would the water in the kiyur become pasul if it's left overnight? In other words, you have like this. The kiyur is filled with water. It's a kli sharis. In general, we have anything that's left in a kli sharis becomes posel overnight. So on the one hand, we could say that, and therefore, as we're going to learn later on, as we're going to learn later on in the, in, as we're going to learn further on in the sugya, we're going to talk about what they used to do eventually is they used to lower the kiyur into a pit, into an underground pit every night, and that accomplished that way the water in it is now connected, it is now connected with the underground water, and therefore it's not really in a kli sharis anymore, and therefore it doesn't become possible. The Rambam has a different understanding of it, which is that, as we're going to discuss later, there was a muchni, there was a mechanism. So most of the Mephoshim understand that the mechanism was where it was like a pulley that was used to raise and lower the kiyur into this pit. The Rambam understands that the muchni was kind of like a thing that surrounded, a tank that surrounded the kiyur, which in and of itself wasn't a klishari. And therefore, you'd have, so they'd store the water in it, they'd pipe it from there into the kiyur when they needed to, and then by night, they would turn off the pipe so that the water remains in the mukhni, which is not a klisharis, therefore it doesn't become possible overnight. But the question is, according to the laws of Rav Shimon, do you need all of that? Do you say that if you say that the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim is not possible if it's left overnight, even if it was for days in a row, maybe with the kiyur it's the same thing? Mia Minin Hani Lamai, do we say that after all, look, what's the purpose of the water in the kiyur? The Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, it's meant for washing their hands and feet. Well, Kiddush Adayim Raglayim will fire like possible holina. And we're saying, according to the Elazar Rebbe Shimon, the water that they themselves washed their hands and feet with did not become possible. Therefore, it's not logical that the water that remains in the kiyur should be stricter than that. Maybe not. Given to Kaddish Lubin Klisharis, Mifsali. Maybe not. They are in a Klisharis after all. The Kiyur is a Klisharis. They're placed in there. And like anything that's left overnight in a Klisharis, they become fossil. It's one thing, Rashi says, the water that they wash their hands and feet with. Fine, that dried off. You don't have that water there anymore. Therefore, you can argue that Lina doesn't pass off because there's nothing tangible there anymore for Lina to be Chala. But maybe the water that's in the kiyur, maybe even Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon would say would be possible, again, unless they sank it down, unless they put it down into the ground over there. Okay. So that's the question. Ilfa asked the question. He also, Robin, when Robin later came from out to Israel, Amar of Yirmiya, Amar of Ami, Amar of Yechanan, he said that Yirmiya said in the name of Rav Ami, was said in the name of Rav Yechanan, that actually Hodr Poshet Ilfa. Later on, Ilfa figured out the answer. That yes, the same machloikas that would apply as far as the water with which they wash their hands and feet, where Rebbe would say that Lina passes it and therefore they need to do a new Kiddush, and Rav Elazar Rebbe Shimon would say that not, the same machloikas would apply to the water remaining in the kiyur. According to Rebbe, they would actually have to either drain the kiyur and refill it every morning, or put it down into this pit to prevent the water from becoming possible in the first place. And by the way, I think the Rishali mentions that in the time before they built this pit, and then before they built this muchni and whatever, in the time of the first Beis Hamikdash, she had, the Pasuk mentioned that Shlomo built the Yamshel Shlomo, which was a giant copper tank, that was in the Azara, and it functioned as a mixer, and the water in it, like in any mixer, is connected to groundwater. Therefore, what they did is they were able to put the Kiyo into it every night, and that would again take care of the problem of linen, because I guess the Yamshel Shloima itself was not a Klisharit either. But in the second verse of Mikdash, they didn't have the Yamshel Shloima, therefore they had to have this Mukhni and this underground pit. Okay, anyway, So Robin is saying that actually that Rabbi Yumi reported that Ilfa answered that yes, the machlokas would apply to the water of the kiyor as well, that Rebbe would hold it becomes possible overnight unless they sink it into the ground, and Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon would hold that not. All of the fun of Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Bisna, however though, continues the report, Robin says, that Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Bisna says to Rabbi Ami, Rebbe, after Omer came, do you really say that? Do you really say that Ilfa figured out the answer? Apparently the answer wasn't figured out yet. Ela hochi omer Rav Asi omer Rav Yechon mishmei de Ilfa. Because no, this is what Rav Asi or Rav Ami actually, I go to back changes it too, said in the name of Rav Yechon and he said in the name of Ilfa that kiyo shalei shikoy mebe'ezev, if you did not put the kiyo down into the underground pit in the evening, Mekadosh menel avodas laila, then fine, you can still use it, you can still be Mekadosh from it for any avoda that you have to do at night, like brooding the fat, because it's on the Mizbeach, because again, it didn't become possible, the water didn't become possible yet, ulamacha ain't a Mekadosh, but the next day, you are not Mekadosh. So we have to figure out, what do you mean? What do we mean, you are not Mekadosh? V'havinon bo, so now we have to, we ask on this, we discuss on this, what does that word mean, ain't a Mekadosh? Does it mean that the next day you're not Makadish in the sense that you don't have to be Makadish, which would be like Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, who said before that you did Kiddush by night and therefore you don't need to do it again by day? Or does he mean Eina Makadish, you cannot use it for Kiddush because it's possible? And then it would be that now, if you say the second one, then it means it's definitely possible. That means it's possible. You cannot use it. Then that would have to be both according to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon and to Rebbe, because actually, so the Rashi says if we were to say that this teaching is according to Rebbe, then of course there's no question. You know, you don't have to say that the Lamar, you don't have to say Lamar Ein Makadosh means that you must do Kiddush, because of course Rebbe holds you have to anyway. So then according to him, there's no question. The only possibility would mean that it means Ein Makadosh that you cannot use it for Kiddush. If we have to ask whether it means that you can't use it for Kiddush, or whether it means that you don't have to, that can only mean we're understanding that like Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. So we see that Veloy Poshet Lon, and he didn't answer the question. So apparently Ilfa did still question whether Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon would hold that the water in the kiyor becomes possible overnight. Based on the discussion, you see that he himself wasn't sure we ourselves weren't sure on what Ilfa said. What did he mean by Lamacha Einim Makadosh? Did he mean that you don't need Kiddush, or did he mean that it's possible for Kiddush? Or Malka Pasha Lemifsha? So you, Reb Yumia or Reb Ami, are telling us as a fact that he was Poshetit, that he answered the question, that it means that Rebbe would say it's possible if it's left overnight in the Kiyor, and Reb Elazar ben Shimon would say that not? Shitim Kubetis brings from Maharat, one of the Balei HaTosfos, who learns the Gemara a little bit differently. That we understand that he means that the Lamacha Einim Makadosh means that the next day it's possible to use for Kiddush. But is that only according to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, or is it only according to Rebbe? Okay, either way, it amounts to the same thing. Though the point is that we can't be certain whether they have the machlok, whether they have the same machlok, because about the water in the kiyor, or whether the water in the kiyor is definitely possible. So what are you telling me as a fact that Ilsa decided that the same machlok that applies in both? Okay, so we're going to have to figure out from various mishnayos and brayos whether we can answer the question. Tashma, come, we'll prove from a mishnah in Yoma. The Mishnah is describing over the various people who made important improvements to the Bais Mikdash. So one of them is Ben Kotin of the Shnei Mot Dablakir. Ben Kotin, when the name of one of the Kohenim Gadolim at the time of the second Bais Mikdash, made 12 faucets for the Kir. Up until that point, the Kir only had 2 faucets. And like this, Kohenim would have to wait their turn. So he made 12 faucets. And the reason why 12, it actually brings from the Gemara and Yoma. But the reason is because when it came to the Korban Tamid, you had 12 Kohenim doing various parts of the Avodah, carrying the different parts of it as well as the Sassim and all to the Mizbeach. They had 12 Kohenim. There were actually 13, but one of them was the one to shecht it, and Shechita, again, is Shechita Bazar, or Shechita can be done by anybody, a Kohen or non-Kohen, so it doesn't require Kiddush Adayim Rev Lion. So it's not really an Avodah in that sense. But the rest of them, one of them had to be macabre the blood, another one had to sprinkle it on the Mizbeach, another one carried this part of the Korban, another one carried that part, etc. So altogether there were 12 of them. So therefore he made 12 spigots, 12 faucets. And the Mishnah continues, Aku also muchni lakir. This same Ben Kotin also made a muchni for the kir, which again, according to most of the Rishonim, Rashi over here and many of the other Rishonim say that it means a pulley system by which they would raise and lower the kir in and out of the ground, like we're saying. According to the Rambam, the muchni is a tank that surrounded the kir, that held water, which they would pipe the water from it into the kir when they needed to. Anyway, Shaloyu Mevam Nistolim Belina, he did that in order that the water of the Kiyo shouldn't be possible by being left overnight. So according to, if we're saying that it goes down into the ground, it means that it's connected to spring water underground, therefore it's not possible. And according to the Rambam, it would mean that the water is in this other tank, in the Mukhni tank, overnight, not in the Kiyo. Okay, so now this Mishnah, my lav, Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon. Shouldn't we say that this Mishnah is, according to everybody, we should try as much as possible to say that a Stam Mishnah follows all opinions. So we should say it's even according to Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon, and therefore he would say that fine, Lina, that when it comes to Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, when it comes to the Kiddush that they did of their hands and feet, yeah, I say it's not possible in the morning because there's no actual water left there. It dried up already. As opposed to the water in the Kiyo, he would presume, apparently, if we say this Mishnah goes according to him, then he would have to agree the water is going to be possible by Lina, and that's why Ben Kotin had to make the money. The answer is no. You don't have to say that the Mishnah is according to him. Rebbe, you could say the Mishnah is only according to Rebbe. Okay, the question is, Bahamid Reisha, Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon. Yes, but since previous Mishnah, which is all, it's all a continuum, because the Mishnah is listing over there, the Mishnah over there is going continuously through the Avoda of Yom Kippur, and then mentioning these various improvements that were made. So the Gemara often does that, considers all the Mishnayos in one perek, or one topic, to all be from one Tana. So if the Reisha is according to Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon, as we're going to say in a second, how we see that, Sefer Nami Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon, then the Sefer, this part that we quoted about the Mukhni, apparently also has to be according to Rav Elazar ben Rav Shimon. Now what does it say, the Katoni Reisha, so the first part of the Mishnah goes as follows. Boloi Eitzel Paroi, the Kohen Gadol, the previous mission actually, whatever, the Kohen Gadol, on Yom Kippur, comes over to his par, which is going to be shechting as his korban on behalf of himself and the Kohenim. So he comes over there to do the vidri and then shecht it. O par ha'yomid ben ulam v'lam mizbeach. Now the par was standing between the ulam, between the front of the heichal and the mizbeach, but not directly between them. Roshay Lajorim, it had to be in the northern half of the Azara, because Kotcha Kotchim, and Kotcha Kotchim have to be shechted in the northern half of the Azara, Kotcha Kotchim, we're talking about Dauphin. So when we say Ben Ulam Alam Izbeach, we don't mean that it was directly between them, we mean that it was in that line. You have a line, you can draw a line between the Ulam for the space between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. And it's in that area, so it's not between the ulam and the mizbeach, but it's in front of the ulam, but not quite as far out as the wall of the mizbeach. So it's standing over there, Rosh HaLadorim, its head is turned towards the south, to be in the direction of the mizbeach. Upon of the Ma'arav, its face is turned, they turned its head 90 degrees, so it faces towards the west. The reason is, basically, the Gemara says over there that you wanted it to be facing west, because that's in the direction of the Heichal. It's going to be shechted, so it should be facing the Heichal. However, they didn't want to have it standing with its back towards the east and its front towards the west, towards the Heichal, because the problem is, what if it defecates over there? What if it excretes? And that would be disrespectful to do that close to the Mizbeach. So therefore, they positioned it so its hindquarters are as far away from the Mizbeach as possible, but in order that it's facing, but then they turn its head so it's facing the Heichal. that Kohen Omer b'mizrach upon the Ma'ariv, and the Kohen would be standing, the Kohen Gadol would be standing, his body, it would be standing on the east upon the Ma'ariv, facing west. In other words, he didn't have to turn anything. He's facing in the same direction as his body is. And then he stands over there and does smicha and does vidui and does smicha on the animal. Now, the point is, we're going to focus on that we're saying that the power was placed bein ha'ulam v'lam mizbeach. Now, man shamat. Now, as we discussed the other day briefly, you have three different opinions, which we're going to see over here. When we say that kodshe kodshim have to be shechted on the north side of the azara, what's considered on the north side of the mizbeach? Actually, it says in the pasuk, what's considered the north side? Does it mean only due north of the mizbeach? So we draw a line from the western wall, from the western wall of the mizbeach, going northward, and from the eastern wall going northward. The mizbeach is 32 by 32 amos, but only within that 32 amos, between those two lines, would you be able to shech kodshe kodshim. Any place else further east or further west than that would be possible. You have a second opinion, which we're going to see over here, which is Rav Elazar of Shimon, who says also the area bein ha'ulam v'lam mizbeach, also the area west of that, so northwest of the mizbeach, is also kosher. And Rebbe adds a third one, which is, he says, also the area northeast of that, further away from the Heichal. So towards the eastern wall of the Azara, including the Ezra's Toyanim, including the Ezra's Yisrael. So, man shamat lay the Amma Bein Ha'ulam V'lam Mizbeach. And which Tana do we find that says that the area Bein Ha'ulam V'lam Mizbeach is considered the north side? You have a diagram here in Rashi, by the way, which should help to follow it a little bit. Which Tana is the one that says that place would be kosher for Shech Kosher Kosher? Rav Elazar of Shimon. Rav Elazar of Shimon. That would be Rav Elazar of Shimon. The Tanya has the learning of Leisa. A Zehu Tzofen, what is considered the north side? Mikir Mizbeach Tzfoni about Kosel Azara Tzfoni. Only from the northern wall of the Mizbeach to the northern wall of the Azara. Or Kenegat Kolam Mizbeach Kolay. Only directly opposite the Mizbeach. So only that 32 Amma width. That is considered stopping. Give it a Yosef of Yehuda. That's what the Yosef of Yehuda says. So not any further east or any further west than that. It has to be that when you're looking south from where you're standing towards the Mizbeach, you will have part of the Mizbeach in front of you. Rav Elazar of Shimon, Moses, Rav Elazar of Shimon says that, but also in addition, Afin Olam Olam Mizbeach, also the area west of that. So if you're standing on the north side facing the Mizbeach, so this would be Rav Elazar ben Shimon is adding an area to your right. To your right, which is closer to the Heichal. So also that, Rav Elazar ben Shimon says, in the northern half of the Azara, is also valid for Shechtim Kodshe Kodshim. Rebbe Moisif, Af Mokam Judas Ragla Akoyin, and Mokam Judas Ragla Yisrael. Rebbe adds also east of that, so it would be towards your left if you're standing in the north facing the Mizbeach. So also the area where the Kohanim are allowed to walk all the time, not just when they're doing Korbanos, and also, which is an 11 Amma wide strip, and also the place where Yisraelim are allowed to walk when they come into the Azara, which is also the last 11 Ammas before the eastern wall of the Azara and Shion Nifener. The Rebbe adds that area as well. But once you get to the base of Chalifos, which is you have the Olam stuck out in and have rings that stuck out north and south of the Heichal that are called those wings are called the base of Chalifos, because that's where they store the knives when the knives that they used for shchita were worn out, and they would store them over there. Chalifos is like a chalif, like a shchita knife. So that from that area and further west. Hakol Moed, which is possible, everybody would agree that it's possible to shech their kodshe kodshim, because that can't be considered suffering of the Mizbeach anymore, because that's a whole different area. As far as kodshim kalim, we'll deal with later on in the Sefta, they have special doors built into the Heichal in various places that you should be able to shech kodshim kalim over there, but kodshe kodshim, they're the furthest north, according to any, the furthest west, rather, that you could shech them, according to anybody, would be in front of the Olam, in front of the Beit HaChalifos. So, the point is, that Rav Elazar ben Shimon is the one who says Bein Ha'ulam V'lam Mizbeach is a kosher place for shechting kodshe kodshim. So if we said in the Mishnah in Yumah that that's where the power of the Kohen Gadol was placed, must be that Mishnah agrees with him. Well, in that case, the next Mishnah over there that says that they built the Mukhni to prevent the water of the Tiyo from becoming possible must also be according to him. He must have a Tisbara. So what are you thinking? Rav Elazar ben Shimon, he below Rebbe. Are you thinking that Mishnah could only be according to Rav Elazar ben Shimon and not according to Rebbe? Hashtag Rebbe, as Rav Yosef of Yehuda Moshe. If we're saying, if Rebbe is adding an additional area above Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, where he said, where Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, again, it said only exactly opposite the Mizeah, and Rabbi also added the area east of that, added Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Loi Moses. What would be the logic to say that Rabbi would disagree with Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon and say that the extra area west of north and west of the Mizeah that Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon had added, that Rabbi would say it's possible? Obviously not. If we're going to say that the area closer to the Heichal is kosher according to the laws of Rabbi Shimon, if Levi is going to be saying the area further away from the Heichal, towards the eastern wall of the Azara, is going to be kosher, how much more so the area closer to the Heichal, which is what Rabbi laws of Rabbi Shimon says. So therefore, in other words, the Mishnah could equally well be according to Levi when it says that the Kohen Gadol's power is placed there. You don't have to say it's only according to Rabbi laws of Rabbi Shimon. So then what's your point then? In that case, the Mishnah could be according to Rebbe. The next part that mentions the Mukhni could also be according to Rebbe, not necessarily according to Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. Sure, Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon would say that the power can be placed there. But he would say that I agree about that, but I disagree about the Mukhni. The Mishnah, which mentions both of those details, would be according to Rebbe, because Rebbe would agree that the area that Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, that's as it says, is kosher for Shechtin Kodshim, for Shechtin Kodshim Kodshim, would also be, according to Debbie, would also be kosher for Shechtin Kodshim Kodshim. Okay, so there's another thing I was saying. So what's the point? So what's your question? What was even your Havamina to think that the Mishnah must be only according to Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon? The answer is a non-Hokikam meaning. Yes, but let's clarify what we mean to ask from the question is as follows. The reason why we think to say that the Mishnah there in Yuma may not be according to Rebbe, the reason why we're going to try to say maybe that it's only according to Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon is like this. If you were going to say that the Mishnah is like Rebbe regarding the first Mishnah, regarding the positioning of the power, then why are you putting it so close to the Heichal, Loikma b'makom Jusus Ragla Kohen and b'makom Jusus Ragla Yisrael? Then why should you have to put it Davka over there? According to Rebbe, again, the entire northern half of the Azara, from the eastern wall of the Azara until the eastern wall of the Ulam, which is the wall of the Beit HaHalifos, that entire, that Amam summarizes, it's 76 amas long from east to west and 60 amas wide from north to south. Rebbe holds that entire rectangle is valid for kodesh kodeshim. So that in that case, according to Rebbe, why do you have to put the animal specifically Beina Ulam Lamaseah? Put it in the place where the Kohenim can walk or the place where the Yisraelim can walk. So if you say the Mishnah is like Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, then it makes sense. You can't put it over there because according to him, that the place, that area, Makom Jerusalem Ragla Kohenim and Makom Jerusalem Ragla Yisrael, is possible for Kodesh Kodeshim. Therefore, of necessity, you have to put it closer. But according to Rebbe, why should you? You could just as well put it further away. That's what made us think that the Mishnah must be according to Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. And if it is, then again, it would mean that the Mishnah of the Mukhni must also be according to him. And that would mean he would hold that the water in the Kiyar is possible with Lina. Now, the Gemara says, Elamai, Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. Okay, so what are you going to argue? You're going to say you're going to try to make the Mishnah be according to Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon? Well then, Loikman Mekum is the Aksvani, and Kotel Azar Aksvani. Even according to him, again, you have two zones. Everybody agrees that the area due north of the Mizeah, exactly north of the Mizeah, is kosher for kosher kosher. You could argue the same thing. According to him, why are you putting it Beina Ulam Olam Mizeah? Put it in that area, the 32 Amos width directly opposite the Mizeah, directly north of the Mizeah, and everybody would agree that that's kosher. So according to him, why are you adapt to putting it Beina Ulam Olam Mizeah? So what do you have to say? Why, if you're going to say the Mishnah is according to Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, why are they dafka putting the animal Beina Ulam Olam Mizbeach? Mishum Chosha the Kohen Gadol. The reason must be nothing to do. Obviously, they need to put it in a place that's kosher for the Shechita, but they try to put it as close as possible to the Heichal because of the weakness of the Kohen Gadol. Because after all, the Kohen Gadol has to do the entire Avodah on Yom Kippur. And part of the Avodah is going to be after he sheds this animal, after he sheds this cow, he's going to be bringing the basin full of blood into the Heichal, into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and sprinkling it over there. And we want to make things as easy as possible for him. So therefore, Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon would say, given that I hold that the area, Beina Ulam Lamazayah, the northern half of it at least, is kosher for Shechtin, kosher kodeshim, better we should put the animal there. That way it's as close as possible to where he needs to use it, and that way he has to carry it less. Well, then, Hachanami, well, by the same logic, we could say that Mishnah in Yuma goes equally well according to Rebbe and not according to Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. And Hachanami, Mishum Chosha the Kohen Gadol, you could answer the same thing. Rebbe would say, if it was just a matter of finding an area that's kosher to put the animal so that you can shecht it, sure, it could be anywhere in that entire northern half of the Azara. But same idea, we want to make things as easy as possible for the coin bundle. Therefore, again, given that, I also agree with Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon that the area northwest of the Mizbeach, Bein Olam LaMizbeach, is kosher for kosher kachim. Fine, then we'll put the animal over there. So still no proof one way or the other whether that Mishnah in Yuma, and therefore the following Mishnah about the Mukhni, whether it goes according to Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon or whether it goes according to Rebbe. So still no proof. But now we're gonna go back to the issue of Lina in general, the question of whether when you did Kiddush Adayim Raglayim one day, whether you need to do it the next day, and we'll eventually get back to the question about whether the water in the here becomes possible by Lina or not, according to the laws of Rav Shimon, again, according to Rebbe, no question. If the Kohen did Kiddush Adayim Raglayim in order to do the avodah of Trumas Hadeshen, which is taking off the ashes from the Mizbeach, that was the first avodah of every day. And usually that was done around Alois HaShachar. So if he did that, then the next day, meaning when the sun completely rises after Netzach Amah, he does not need to kiddush. Shekvar kiddush mitchilas avodah, because he already did the kiddush Adayim Raglayim at the beginning of the avodah, because that's the first avodah of the day. So in other words, even though the Trumas Hadeshen is usually done it's not necessarily done after Alois HaShachar. It could be done even before Alois HaShachar. Nevertheless, Rabbi Yechon is saying that once he did Kiddush Adayim Raglayim for that, then he does not have to do again. Yeah, the question is Laman. Well, according to which of the two opinions that we said before would that go according to? Either Rebbe, if you're going to say that Rabbi Yechon is talking according to Rebbe, right, doesn't work. Ha'am apostle Alina. Rebbe had said that Lina possible, that once it comes Alois HaShachar, you do the previous Kiddush is possible, and you need to do another one. If he did Trumas Hadeshen before Alois HaShachar, or shortly before Alois HaShachar, according to Rebbe, he should need to do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim again. And Eli Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon, if you're going to say Rebbe Yechon is saying according to Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon, Ha'amei in Tzorach L'Kaddush, after the Mekan V'Atasar Yamin. We said before that he says that you don't even need to do the Avot, you don't even need to do Kiddush again, even 10 days later. In other words, it has nothing to do with whether it's the same day or not. According to him, even you did Kiddush Adayim Raglayim one day, and in between you didn't sleep and didn't go to the bathroom and so forth, as we're going to say later, then you don't need to do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim again. Whereas Rabbi Yechanan is saying, why don't you need to do Kiddush? Because you're doing it at the beginning of the day's Avodah. Implying that if it wasn't the beginning of the day's Avodah, then you would need to. That doesn't work according to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. And it doesn't work according to Rebbe, because according to Rebbe, you would have to. So what does it mean? The answer is Amar Abaye La'olam the Rebbe. So Abaye says Rabbi Yechanan is talking according to Rebbe's opinion. The Lina did Abaye. Rebbe would say the whole concept that Lina passed Kiddush Adayim Raglayim is only did Abaye, because after all, again, it's not like when the water is in the keir. The reason is because after all, the water already dried up. The reason is, as Rashi says, because the Chachamim didn't want people to be careless with this concept of Lina, so therefore they extended it to the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim itself. The Rebbe will agree that from Kreis HaGeber, from when the rooster crows, which is before Alois HaShachar, shortly before Alois HaShachar, which is when the Kohenim wake up and they do the Trumas Hadeshen, from then until Alois HaShachar, is not that in that short amount of time, Lina is not going to pass. The Chachamim aren't going to extend the Gzeira of Lina to that. It's one thing he did Avodah in the middle of the night. He did that avodah in the middle of the night, and Rebbe will say he has to do, or throughout the night, or whatever. Then he has to do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim again. But this that he did Kiddush Adayim Raglayim a few minutes before Alois HaShachar, Rebbe is going to agree that we're not going to make him do it again after Alois HaShachar. Okay. That's Abaye. Rav Amar, Va'olam Rav Elazar Rav Shimon. No, you could say that Rav Yochanan is saying what he says according to Rav Elazar Rav Shimon, but not completely, because the Ra Rav Yochanan Dvarav B'Chilas Avodah, V'Lo D'Seif Avodah. Rav Yochanan agrees with Rav Elazar Rav Shimon, to the extent that when it's the beginning of the avodah, that, as he said, he did kiddush adayim raglayim for the first avodah of the day. Therefore, that's good enough, and he doesn't have to do it for continuation of that. But not for sof avodah, he would disagree with Rav Elazar Rav Shimon when it comes to when he did kiddush adayim raglayim, the burn the fats and the pieces on the mizbeach, which is not the beginning of avodah; it's the end of avodah after the korban was already brought earlier in the day. Now you're doing what's left over of it. That he would disagree with Rav Elazar Rav Shimon that you did Kiddush Adayim Raglayim for Sof Avoida, that should help for the next day's Avoida, that he says that no. But he would say that. But he would say that if you did for Tchilas Avoida, even though it was long before Alois HaShachar, then it would be okay. Okay. What is Macy? I have a contradiction. So you're telling me. So we have a contradiction for Robert's understanding. Again, where Rava is saying that Rav Yochanan would say that I agree with Rav Elazar Rav Shimon to a limited extent, only if it was for Terumat Hadeshen, not for any previous avodah. So we learn in a Mishnah in Talmud, Ra'u Echav HaKoyanim Sheyorad, the other Koyanim, after the one Koyan goes and does Terumat Hadeshen. So after he comes down off the Mizbeach with the pan full of ashes in his hand, the Mishnah continues, Ra'u Echav HaKoyanim Sheyorad, his fellow Koyanim saw that he came down off the ramp of the Mizbeach, Behen Rotsu Uvo, they started running and coming, Mirub Kitchudayim Raglayim Nakir, and they quickly did Kiddushudayim Raglayim, in order to, as Rashi says, that the Mishnah continues, that they would either, if there were a lot of ashes on the Mizbeach, then they would put it in a big pot and carry it outside, and carry it outside Yerushalayim. If there wasn't so much, then they would move it all to the pile in the middle of the mizbeach, and then they would start setting up the wood piles on the mizbeach and so forth. So the point is that we're saying that they have to do kiddush adayim raglayim. At this point, the Gemara is assuming, for purposes of the question, that these kohenim had actually been doing avodah before. They'd been doing avodah of hektar chalavim beivorim all night, so therefore they'd done kiddush adayim raglayim. But now the Mishnah is saying that the Mishnah is saying that now they're going to be starting the avodah of clearing the ashes from all over the mizbeach and putting them in the middle or putting them in the pot or whatever. So therefore they need to do a new kiddush adayim raglayim. So Vishleim al Abaya, Demokim Waka Rebbe. So it works out well according to Abaya, who understands Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, to be according to Rebbe. And we said, Umoidi Rebbe, Dimakrit, Agera, Sakra, Le Tosaluna. And we would say that even Rebbe agrees that you did Kiddush Adayim Raglayim shortly before, by Kreutz HaGever, when the rooster crowed, from then until Alois HaShachar, Lina does not passel it. Then you could say, Homani Rebbe, then you could say this Mishnah that says that they're going to be doing Kiddush Adayim Raglayim now, which again is before Alois HaShachar, because the guy finished Terumat Hadeshen. So now, at this point, it's still not Alois HaShachar yet. We're saying the other Koyanim go to do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. And that'll be fine. The one that they did earlier in the night is going to be possible, and therefore they need to do another one now. The one that they do now, in the short amount of time remaining until Alois HaShachar, won't become possible. Therefore, that would work according to Rebbe. Ella the Rava, the Mukim Laker of Elazar Rav Shimon, but according to Rava, who says that Rabbi Yochanan is going according to Elazar Rav Shimon, which means Abel Rebbe, because I gave out Sakra, Possalina. But Rava would understand that according to Rebbe, there's no exception. Alois HaShachar always Kiddush Adayim Raglayim is possible, even if you did it only a short while before. Halmani, which of the two opinions would this Mishnah go by? E Rebbe, if it's according to Rebbe, it doesn't work because Poslalina, because what's the good of them doing a Kiddush Adayim Raglayim right now? Again, they've been doing Avodah earlier in the night. Doing the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim now after Kreis HaGever, after the rooster crows, is not going to help anything, because in a few minutes it's going to be Alois HaShachar, and that Kiddush Adayim Raglayim is going to be possible anyway, according to Rebbe. So there's no purpose in them doing it. E Rav Elazar Rav Shimon, and if you're going to say according to Rav Elazar Rav Shimon, again, according to Rava's understanding of Rav Yochanan, Ha'amah for the Mekan Ba'ad Asara Yomim and Asara HaKadosh. Then we said that Rav Elazar Rav Shimon said that you never, as long as you didn't do anything that passes the Kiddush, then you don't need to do another one. So according to him, you were doing the Avoda all night. What would you need to do another Kiddush Adayim Raglayim now after Kreis HaGever, after the rooster crows? So according to Rava's understanding, the Mishnah in Talmud over there doesn't work out according to either opinion. According to Rebbe, the one that you do now isn't going to help. You're anyway going to have to do another one soon, so you may as well not bother. Just rely for the time being on the one you did earlier in the night for Hector Chalav Baibarim, and come aloy to Shachar, you'll do another one. According to the Balazar Rav Shimon, even the first one's not possible, so you don't need the second one. The answer is, well, Olam Kir Balazar Rav Shimon. No, you could say, Rabba would answer that we can make the Mishnah work according to the Balazar Rav Shimon. We're talking about over here when the Mishnah says that they would run through Kiddush Adayim Raglayim now. Is there new Kainim? Not new in the sense where they never did the Avodah before, but new in the sense they had not been doing Avodah during the night. So they hadn't done Rechitzah Adayim Raglayim. So obviously then if they're going to be doing Avodah now, if they're going to be going and clearing the ashes from all over the Mizbeach and putting them in the pile and setting up the wood and everything, those are all Avodah, then obviously they're going to have to do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim for those. So of course that would be what the Mishnah is saying. It wouldn't necessarily be a chiddush in that case, but still the Mishnah is not so much trying to tell us a chiddush as just to tell us what they actually did. Once they saw that he's finished Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, that he finished Trumas Hadeshen, then they would hurry up to do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim so they could start their parts of the Avodah. Okay. So we have two different ways of understanding. So again, we have two different ways of understanding what Rebbe would say regarding Kiddush Adayim Raglayim that was done before Alois HaShachar. Would it be compulsory at Alois HaShachar, which is Rava's way of understanding, or would it not that even Rebbe would say that not, which is Abaye's way? The Rambam Paskins, first of all, in the general Machlokas, the Rambam Paskins, like Rebbe, because in general we have the rule that when Rebbe argues with one Tana, halacha k'Rebbe mechaveru, that the halacha is like Rebbe against one individual Tana, so that's how it is over here. But in addition, in this second machlokas, he paskins like a Abaye's understanding. It seems that he paskins like a Abaye's understanding of Rabbi Yochanan, that Rebbe himself would agree that from Kreis HaGever till Alois HaShachar, the Kiddush doesn't become possible. Usually we say, of course, that halacha is like Rava, but that's when they have an independent machlokas of their own, not when they're arguing over here how to understand a previous mandala. And some of the other machlokas understand that maybe the Rambam is actually paskening, like Rava's understanding, or maybe he's even paskening like Rava Lazar Rav Shimon. There's a lot of discussion about that. Okay. As far as the question of whether the water in the kiyur is possible lina, again, if we paskin like Rebbe, then it's a moot point. He said that according to him, it's definitely possible lina, and that's why we need the mukhni. So the Rambam does bring la'alocha, this matter of the mukhni, that the kiyur had to be put, it had to be sunk into the ground every night. Or actually, the Rambam says whatever, they had the according to him, the mukhni is the thing surrounding the kiyur, which would store the water. So according to him, that's how it has to be. So that's how it has to be, because if you left the water in the kiyur overnight, it would actually become possible. Later on, the Gemara is going to deal with, later on, we'll get to in the next couple of days, we'll deal with the question with more details about the water in the kiyur becoming possible overnight. Another discussion, Iboyogu, so now we have another question. Yitzia Mao Shatoyo B'Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. What happens if the Kohen, after he washed his hands and feet, what if he went out of the Azara? Would that passel the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim? Now, what would be the logic it should? Rashi says the logic is the same way as we find that anything that was, any kodshim that were placed into a kli sharet, for example, the blood that was put into a kli sharet, the fat, the mincha, etc., if afterwards they are taken out of the Azara, then they become passel. So by the same logic, then he did Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, which takes place in the Azara. If he were to go out, then maybe it would be possible. Tosfos discusses that no, that can't be. That's not why. The reason is rather Tosfos says the Gemara is going to go on to deal with the question of Hesach Hadas, that the problem is if he goes out, then he's Masiach Das. He's distracted from. He's distracted from making sure that his hands remain tahor, or he's distracted in general from doing the avodah, because not just because he can't do the avodah outside the azara, and therefore that would be a valid reason maybe why he would have to do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim instead. Same way, by the way, as we have when it comes to washing our hands for bread. If we're Masiach Das, we have to wash again, which is the reason behind not talking after washing is in order not to be Masiach Das. Okay, fine. So does you see a possible the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim such that he would have to do it again. In Kim Salema, Lina like Pasla, so you could argue maybe that Lina, that the staying overnight until Allah Shachar doesn't pass away. Fine, the late Kodesh, because the difference is, according to the laws of Rav Shimon, he didn't go away from the Avodah. He's continuously doing the Avodah, or even if he's not continuously doing it, he's still in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, I go to Bach, ask the question, actually, that the Gemara discussed over there, that Rav laws of Rav Shimon would say that even if he's not actually back to where he was, the Gemara seems to be using the expression, late Kodesh, that he didn't stop doing the Avodah, implying that he's continuously doing the Avodah. Right. Anyway, the point is, at least if he's continuously doing the Avodah, then Rav Elazar Rav Shimon, we know for sure in that case, Rav Elazar Rav Shimon says he wouldn't have to do Kiddush Adayim Ragliim instead. And maybe even if he's not doing the Avodah, because he said at least he's in the Azara, Avo Yitzia, but when he goes out of the Azara, the Parish, where he necessarily is going away from the Avodah, Asuchi Masak Daikid, and you could argue maybe he's Masiyah Da'af, he's distracted from making sure that his hands remain Tar, and therefore we have to do it again. Ojoma, or maybe not, given to be Yabe Lachzer, since he has the ability to come back in, he's not Tomei or anything after all, he went out, he could just as easily come back in. Loy Masach, maybe he's not Masiyah Da'af. And therefore he shouldn't have to wash his hands and feet again. Okay, so Mai, so what's the, Mai is a few lines later, okay. So Toshma, come, we'll prove from a Bright, so that says like this. Shiddish Yodav Raglav V'nitmu, the Braisa says, if the Kohen washed his hands and feet, and then his hands became Tomei, which his hands is, Midaraisa, there's no such thing as hands becoming Tomei. You either, your whole body becomes Tomei or nothing becomes Tomei. But you have a number of things that Midrabbanan can make a person's hands Tomei. Rashi gives the example, Pigul and Noiser. And Pigul, which we dealt with before and we'll deal with later on in our Perek, where it was shefted with a machsheves man, or one of the avodas was done with a machsheves man, and noiser is meat left over from a korban. So those things, the Gemara mentioned, the Mishnah mentions at the end of Psachim, that they're metame a person's hands. So he washed his hands and feet, and now they became tomei, midrabanan, matvilon, he just needs to tovel them. The ein tzarach l'kaddish, he does not need to do kiddush adayim raglayim again. Yosu, however, the brides continued, if they went out, in other words, if he stuck his hands, Arabi Azara, Harein B'Kedushasan, then they retain their Kedusha. He also doesn't need to do anything, he doesn't need to do Tevila, he doesn't need to do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. So we see, there's your answer, his hands went out, he doesn't need to do it. The Gemara says, Yosu Yodav Lechom Abayam. We have no question that if only his hands went out and the rest of his body is in the Azara. Of course he doesn't need to do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. The question is, if his entire body, if he completely went out of the Azara, does he need to do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim again? Mai, so what's the din? Tashma, we learn, a braisa says, Shaloi Rechus Yadayim Raglayim. Somebody who did not do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, Mekadesh be klisharis b'fnim. So he needs to be Mekadesh, he needs to wash his hands and feet using a klisharis in the Azara. And a klisharis, as we said before, doesn't necessarily have to be the kiyo per se, the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur would use a golden pitcher. There's even an opinion in the Mishnah there that says that throughout the year he would use a golden pitcher for covet for him. But whatever, as long as it's a klisharis, it's good. Kiddush be klisharis b'chus. On the other hand, if he used a klisharis outside the Azara, or he used a non-klisharis, a regular ordinary kebi, inside the Azara, or he toveled in a cave, which means a mikveh. So theoretically, he actually says it doesn't have to be dafka a mikveh. In those days, of course, we're usually in caves or other still water. It could even be, it means even if he dipped himself, even if he toveled in a spring. But usually people would tovel in caves. The point is, so if he toveled, but oh, well, he did the Avodah, Avodah is solo. In all those cases, Avodah is possible. Even though he did Tzvila in this last case, or in the first two cases, he did Kiddush, but it was at the wrong kind of table or the wrong place, all of them are possible, because Avodah is possible. So, let's analyze. Time of the Kiddush with Klisharis Bachot. Why are we saying it's possible? Because he used a Klisharis outside the Avodah. But it sounds like the implication is if he had done the Kiddush properly in the Azara, the Yotza, and then he went out, Avodah the Treda. It sounds like his Avodah would be kosher. Otherwise, the Braisa should have mentioned that example, where his Kiddush is possible. In fact, actually, the Braisa could have mentioned the case. The Braisa could have said like this, Rashi said. If you're going to argue that it's possible if he goes out, then the Braisa should have said like this. It doesn't even need to mention Kiddush Bachutz. Obviously, if even just going out after a Kiddush B'Pnim passes it, then there's no question that a Kiddush Bachutz would pass it. So the Braisa wouldn't even have to mention that. The fact that it does mention it implies that only being the Kaddish Bachutz is possible, but being the Kaddish B'Pnim and then going out is still kosher. No, the Gemara says not necessarily. You don't necessarily understand the Braisa that way. Duma Kiddush B'Kli Sharis Bachutz, take it down. Because you could say, what does it mean that it's Mekaddish using a Kli Sharis outside the Azara? Would mean going into Afik Yod Levar, if he just stuck his hands out of the Azara, the rest of his body is inside the Kiddush. And then he was Mekaddish, which we said before, we know that if he just sticks out his hands, he doesn't have to be Mekaddish again. So the Braisa would be telling us, however, the original Kiddush does have to be done with his hands inside as well. Which would imply Hakiddush B'Pnim B'Yotza, Da'afik Yod Levar, implying though that he did the Kiddush inside and then he only stuck his hands out, Sheva, then the Kiddush would still be kosher, which is what we said before. Avo Yotza Kogulpa Tidvayavach, you still don't know. You could still ask the question, what about if his entire body went out? Maybe the Braisa is not addressing that case. So we don't know. Maybe it would be possible, maybe not. So, Amalei Rav Zvid L'Papa, Toshma, come on, bring your proof as follows. We learn in another braisa. Yotze chutz l'mechitzes chaymas hazara. If the kohen goes out of the walls of the mechitza, which is demarcated, which is marked off by the walls of the hazara, im l'shais, if he went out planning to stay outside for a while, Tonzilla, then before he comes back in to do more avodah, he needs to tovel. And at this point, the Gemara is assuming that the reason why he needs to tovel is because of Pesach Hadas. Im l'pishar, if he just goes out for a few minutes, tov kiddush adayim ravayim, then when he comes back in, he needs kiddush adayim ravayim. So there you go. Even if he just went out for a few minutes, then he needs kiddush adayim ravayim. Amalei, so the Papa says no, not necessarily, because hachab mayaskin, because the Braisa, when it talks about going out for a while versus going out for a few minutes, is not necessarily just meaning the amount of time he plans to go out. It means he went out in order to defecate, to do number two, or to urinate. So then the lishhost would mean he's going out for a while, in other words, he's going out to defecate. And then the halacha is he has to tovel before he comes back in. Whereas the second one, when he goes out lafishah, would mean he just went out for a minute or two to urinate, and then he would need kiddush adayim ravayim. Wouldn't necessarily prove that if he just goes out without going to the bathroom, that he should need kiddush adayim ravayim, not necessarily. And this is what he means. We have an explicit mission for that effect. Called mesech raglav ton tvila. The general rule is when somebody goes out to go to the bathroom to defecate, mesech raglav, by the way, the literal meaning of it is covering his feet. Because when you're sitting to go to the bathroom, you're supposed to cover yourself and a sneer stick away. There's supposed to be only a minimum amount of your body that you uncover for that. So therefore, the term for sitting down to go to the bathroom is mesech raglav, covering his feet. Anyway, the point is that when he goes out, the Mishnah says that when he goes out to go to the bathroom to sit down, to tone tevila, then he needs to tovel. B'chol amato mayim, and if he goes out to urinate, tone kiddush adayim raglayim, then he needs kiddush adayim raglayim. So we see clearly from that Mishnah that it says that. Why would the Braisa be saying it in terms of a short amount of time versus a long amount of time versus a short amount of time? Yes, it's okay. You could say tony v'hadim mafarish. Fine. You could say it mentioned it. It said it and then it explained it. In other words, when it says going out for a long time, then it clarifies what do I mean by going out for a long time means to defecate. What do I mean by going out for a short amount of time means to urinate. Wouldn't necessarily prove that if he went out for a long time for without any particular purpose and he wasn't that he should need to do kiddush adayim raglayim instead, or the same thing a short amount of time. You don't know. Toshma, come will prove from another braisa. Para, when it comes to the para adruma, which took place on Harazin, and the Kohen who did it needed to do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, Rav Chiya Bar Yosef Amar, a Kaddish B'Tisharas B'Tnim B'Yosef. So Rav Chiya Bar Yosef says he has to do the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim in the usual way. He has to do it in the Azara and then go out to Harazin, which that's the relevance of it over here, because it would mean that going out does not topple it. Rav Yechon and Omar, Afilu b'chutz. Rabbi Yechanan says no. This kiddush daim raglayim can even take place outside the azara. V'afilu b'kuch chayil. He could even use a kli chayil, not a kli shari. It's just a plain old keli. V'afilu b'mekedesh ocheres. He can even use an earthenware mug, which is a low down, a contemptible type of keli. You're not even allowed to make. Everybody, there's a machlok elsewhere in the Gemara what you're allowed to make the clay shardis out of. We'll learn about it in Menachos, says Hashem. But everybody agrees you can't make the clay shardis out of cheres, out of earthenware. But here, Rabbi Yechanan is saying you can even use an earthenware mug for the kli for kiddush adam red wine for the part azara. But the point is though, Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef is saying that you can do that. You do it in the azara and then you go out. So obviously, it doesn't become possible. I'm going to pop it. So the papa says that's a special case. Shiny paret, different. The paradroma, since everything involving the paradroma takes place outside of the Azara, it all takes place on Harazesim. Like possible, but you see, therefore that's a special case. Going out from the Azara won't pass all the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim that he did inside. But you can't prove for a regular case where he does Kiddush Adayim Raglayim to do avoid it in the Azara, whether it should pass or not. Okay, so the question is, Yehoch Alomali de Makadish. So in that case, then why does he need to do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim at all? If it's taking place outside the Azara, then why bother? Then who can avoid a ponim? Can avoid a ponim or can avoid a ba'inim? Fine, but it still has to be at least, it has to be like a semblance of the avoida. It has to be at least you do it to a certain extent the way you would do the avoida. So you still have to do some type of Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. Okay, so it won't have the usual rules. According to the Pchiyah by Yosef, you could go out, even though normally maybe going out would pass the list. According to the Yechanan, you could even lachatchila do it outside. You don't even need to do it in the Azora, and you don't even need to use klisha. So again, you don't have any proof that what would be in the case. What would be the case in with regular Azora? So the Rambam paskins that since we have a suffix over here, again, as we said, the Gemara leaves the suffix unresolved. So as we had before, suffix means you can't passel the avodah because of it. Because as we said before, you'd have a problem that you might end up bringing chulin lazara. If you say the avodah is passel, means that you might be saying a korban is passel when really it was kosher and making the person bring another one, which he's not supposed to do. So the bottom line is, if he went out, if he the Rambam says like this: if he went out planning to stay for a while, then he needs kiddush adayim raglayim. There's two different versions in the Rambam. One, but the other version is if he went outside for a while, then he needs tevila. If he plans to come back right away, then he just needs kiddush adayim raglayim. If he didn't tovah, he didn't do kiddush adayim raglayim, since he didn't go to the bathroom and he wasn't b'siyach nas, then the avoda would be kosher. In other words, if during that time he was outside, he'd gone to the bathroom, either urination or defecation, or if he'd been Masiyach Nas, then there's no question he has to do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim again, as the Gemara is going to talk about later on, that there are a number of things that do possible Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, Hesach Hadas being one of them. But again, no Hesach Hadas, just the going out by itself, he should do Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, but it doesn't possible the Avodah if he doesn't.